Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Deborah Becker. Jurors heard testimony today from the Chinese businessman allegedly carjacked by the Tsarnaev brothers 3 days after the Boston Marathon bombings.
Dun Meng recounted the hour and a half he spent driving around with Tamerlan and Jahar Tsarnaev before finally jumping from the car at a gas station on Memorial Drive in Cambridge.
It's a story that Dun Meng told us nearly a year ago.
Unbelievable. It's kind of very small possibility for me to meet up with them because everybody is looking for them. I was thinking, these guys, they're tourists. This is very, I was very scared, actually.
WBUR's Jack Lepiarz is at the Moakley Federal Courthouse covering the trial of Jahar Tsarnaev. Hi there, Jack.
Hi, Deb.
Well, tell us about some of Dun Meng, the man who was known by the pseudonym Danny up until now. Tell us about his testimony today.
Well, Dun Meng gave us a real, I mean, just a play-by-play all the way through his night. He said he left work around 10, 10:30, and he was just driving around Boston to relax. He was driving up Memorial Drive, down Sturrow Drive. Then he finally pulled on to Commonwealth Ave by the BU Bridge, and he pulled over to send a text message on Brighton Ave. And he says right then a car pulled up behind him. Very quickly, someone got out and they knocked on his door and he lowered the window and he thought they were asking for directions. The person said, could you lower the window a little bit more? He lowered it a little bit more. And that's when the person unlocked the door, got in, and pointed a gun at him. We later learned that that was Tamerlan Tsarnaev. So they drove around. Eventually, Jahar Tsarnaev got in the car with them and they stopped several times. But Meng said he was thinking about escaping but never actually escaped because he first off had heard that they both had guns and they kept stopping in areas where there was no one around, these dark, dead-end streets in Watertown or Cambridge where he knew that if he tried to get away, there was nowhere he could go.
And then eventually, though, they stopped at a gas station, right? And that's how he did get out of the car.
Yeah, eventually it was at that Shell gas station on Memorial Drive and River Road. And that was, he said, they had been talking about driving to New York. They'd asked him, can your car go out of state? So, and he said, yes. And they said, so it could go to New York. And he figured they had been looking for a gas station now for 10, 15 minutes. And when they finally started filling up or planning to fill up, he figured this is his last chance to get away before they try to go all the way to New York. So he knew this was his last chance. So in one fluid motion, what he said is Tamerlan Tsarnaev was still in the car. Jahar Tsarnaev was in the convenience store of the gas station putting down cash to get gas. Tamerlan's fiddling with the radio. So in one motion, Dun Meng unbuckles his seatbelt, unlocks the car, and sprints across the street where you see him run to another gas station. We saw it on security video. And you see him frantically waving, talking. There, he says, there are men who want to shoot me. There are men who want to kill me. Eventually, the cashier there calls 911, and you see Danny actually crawl around behind the counter trying to hide from the Tsarnaev brothers.
Mm. Now, also today, Jack, jurors heard graphic testimony about the death of MIT police officer Sean Collier. The defense arguing that Tamerlan, Jahar's older brother Tamerlan, and not Jahar, was the one who killed Collier. What was the medical examiner's testimony today?
Well, the medical examiner's testimony was really just to give in-depth detail of exactly what kind of wounds Sean Collier suffered. And that was 3 bullets to the head, face, neck area, as well as 3 to the hand. The bullet wounds to the head, as you might expect, are the big ones. 2 of those bullets went into his brain and damaged a part of the brain that controls purposeful motion. In other words, if I want to move my finger, that's the part of the brain that lets me move my finger. Another bullet went from his face down into his neck and severed his carotid artery. That's what supplies blood flow to the brain. And the medical examiner, Dr. Renee Robinson, testified that all of those things are wounds that could have killed you, but the 2 bullets to the brain, essentially as soon as he would have gotten that, he would have lost consciousness, lost any ability to move, and would have been dead minutes later.
What was the reaction from jurors?
Jurors, I was looking at jurors because, remember, we were not shown these grisly autopsy photos in the public area. That was only to jurors. So I was looking over at jurors to see if I could get any reaction to him. You saw a couple of people sort of bring, not quite grimace, but sort of narrow their eyes as the images first cropped up. But overall, very straightforward.
All right, WBUR reporter Jack Lepiarz from the Federal Courthouse in Boston. Jack, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.